and welcome to the Horizon Church podcast. Horizon Church is a Christ-centered, word-based, spirit-led church based in Sydney, Sutherland Shire. We are so happy to bring this week's message to you. And on behalf of our pastors, Brad and Ali Bonholm, and the Horizon Church team, we pray it's a blessing to you.
What's up, Horizon Church? Buonasera, ragazzi. Come stiamo, mi amici? Very good to see you. You can sit down. That's Horizon Youth, me and Horizon Youth, and I love them very much. How you going, church? How's your day? Just chilling. Hey, if you don't know me, my name's Jackson, and I have the absolute honour of being the youth pastor here at this incredible church. But if you are new and a guest here tonight, I actually really have this word on my heart for you, and that is that I just wanted to say up front before we get into the message, and it will be scattered throughout the message, but I do want to say it directly, that you are totally and completely loved by Jesus tonight. And the phrase that I actually get for some people, and I know I've seen some new people around the auditorium tonight, the Bible refers to Jesus a couple of times as a friend of sinners. And if you have found your life full of regrets or mistakes, can I tell you, you have a friend in Jesus tonight who will be the friend of your soul, who will be the friend of your mistakes. He will redeem the mistakes. He will redeem the regrets. And I know that tonight the love of God is reaching out to you. The love of God is telling you that everything is going to be okay when you put your trust in Him. And so we are so stoked to have you. Well, on the 9th of November, my friends, is a very dear event to my heart, and that is Horizon Youth Gala Night 2018. And I wanted to just take a second and share the heart behind our annual event. I recently got the honour of travelling up to our state denomination conference in Port Macquarie. And I was blown away by the fact that our youth ministry, it really does have a little bit of a reputation. I mean, I didn't realise. I didn't realise how, I don't know, yeah, everyone knows about Horizon Youth. Everyone is asking Alyssa and I questions. People knew us. It was a very bizarre experience, to be honest. And I was thinking about why. I was so blown away. I was asking God why. And there was a couple of things that... that God spoke to me about. Number one, we're part of Horizon Church, and the mantle that's on Horizon Church is also on Horizon Youth, and we are a special church. God is doing something special here, and the influence that is on our senior pastors, that is on this church, is also on Horizon Youth. And the second thing is I felt the Word of God encourage my heart, and that is there is something special about the Horizon Youth leadership team. There is something really special, and if there was one thing that I've taken away from every encounter that I've had with other youth ministries, my encounter that I had in state conference, is that the youth leaders and the youth leadership culture that we have in Horizon Youth, it's not found everywhere. It's special what we have. And I know I journey with our 50 youth leaders. I journey with them week in, week out, and I see what they do. I see the thousands of dollars that they invest into young people every single year. I see the night and day, the time that they invest into young people to make sure that young people are safe. The other week, I saw a youth leader on her way home from youth whip her car around, and as she heard of a young girl that was in trouble in Kirrawee, and she whipped her car around after midnight, and she drove, and I wanted to make sure that she was safe, so I followed her, and I watched as this girl had gotten herself into trouble, and the youth leader, with the love of Christ, held up her hair as this girl was having a really rough time in the streets of Kirrawee. I was there at the funeral, and I saw one of our youth leaders walk a young girl through the death of her parent. I see the immense laying down of life that our youth leaders give. And can I say, if we could, we would give so much more than what we have to Horizon Youth. If there was more money available to us, we would give it. If there was more time available, I'm telling you, for every single youth leader, I know them. If there was more time available to them, they would serve with it. But alas, resource finite and time even more finite. And Gala Night is our one night per year where we say, we really need your help. we feel this responsibility. I imagine it's what a parent feels like when God has sort of entrusted you with a child, and you are there's a sense of responsibility that you are going to be a major part of their destiny, that the care and nurture that you give to your child, that it is going to impact them for the rest of their life and set them up. And that's what we feel as youth leaders, in a different way to parents. But the young people that are in our youth ministry right now, they need us to set up the best year that they've ever had in 2019. They need us to rally behind Gala and make sure that they can fulfill everything that's on their lives. So I am. This is our night. I don't say it often. I don't ask often. This is our night where I need your help. The Horizon team, we need your help. So even while I'm speaking, what's $40? Like in the 21st century world, what's $40? Jump online, buy a ticket, come and support. And when you come, I promise you, you will be blown away.
Yes, that is true.
Are you ready for the word tonight?
Yeah.
Okay, I am feeling pumped. Let's pray. God, we just thank you so much that your love is here in the room tonight. And we just love you, Jesus. We love you, Jesus. And tonight, God, I just pray that right across this room, God, that there would be an uplifting of hearts. There would be an inflation of spirit, Father God, as they hear the good news, Father God, as we come around the good news of Jesus Christ and what he did for us and what he accomplished for us on the cross. Father God, I just pray in Jesus' name that tonight would spark hope in many people, and that many people, if they haven't already given their life to you, that they would be inspired and decide that their time is now to hand over their life to you in Jesus' mighty name. And everybody said,
Amen.
Well, I don't know if you were subject to this kind of torture when you were a child, but every Sunday morning I was subject to North Cronulla Beach Club nippers. And it was a really, 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 really rough time. You might not know, you might know, but you might not. It's hard to tell. You may think that I'm a sports buff, but I'm not. I did once try and have a gym career to get like bodybuilder Jackson out. Didn't really work, and I've accepted who God has made me to be. I've been a day one supporter of the Cronulla Sharks, haven't I, Junior? I've been a day one supporter since they won their premiership. So I jumped on. I was like, this is sick. I'm going to support. but this North Cronulla Beach Nippers, I actually got good at something. Well, moderately good at something. And that was the knee paddle boarding. So it's like a board from here to the pulpit. It's got two knee pads. You kneel on it and it's like the Iron Men do it and all of that sort of stuff. I don't claim to be an Iron Man. That's not what I'm saying. Again, look, if you hand me an equation, I'm going to smash that thing. You give me an essay, I'm going to dominate it. You put me in a race, a fight, or a tournament, I'm going to lose miserably and come out very hurt. So one day, Mum shipped me off to this three-day nippers camp. Oh my gosh, it was hell. Now, there was a session for board riding, and they had this world champ come out, and his name was Warren someone, and he came out and he was leading this board riding session. And anyway, so we're all paddling, and we're at Deer Park in the Port Hacking. We're all paddling. And anyway, we all sit on our boards and we're listening to him give his lecture. When all of a sudden, he points to me and he says, "You, kneel on your paddleboard and start paddling." Now, I had been pointed out by an Olympian before. I had been pointed out, yes. I was in the North Cronulla Surf Club pool. We were there, we were swimming, and this Mum and I were talking about the name. We've forgotten the name of the girl, but she was this Olympian, and she was there teaching everyone swimming. And I had been pointed out before. And that time, I felt like the man. She's like, "You, come over here." I'm like, "Yes." I never get this satisfaction. Like, yes. And she proceeded to tell me that my technique was all wrong and I was the worst in the group and that I was just basically terrible. And the whole time, she everyone else was doing laps in the other lane, and then I'm there, and she's with me literally the whole time, and I get out of the water, and my mum's like, how good was that? And I'm like, are you kidding? That was the worst time of my life. So anyway, this dude points at me, and he says, you, get up on your board and start paddling. And so I was smarter this time. I didn't dare think to myself that they're pointing me out to be the man. And so I, with my head down, I got up on my board, I started paddling. When he started to say, everybody look at him. This guy has the best technique I have ever seen for a 14-year-old. Everyone needs to be like him. Thank you very much. Everyone needs to be like him. Oh, man, I was over the moon. If I could have video recorded that, it would be on loop on my family TV. If I could fashion that into some sort of trophy, it would be sitting on my desk, and it would be have been sitting right here as I preach. It would have been the proudest moment of my life. Anyway, they that afternoon they brought the Surf Life Saving jet ski out around into Deer Park, and they were giving us all turns on the jet ski. So I jump on the jet ski, this has been the best day of my life. And if you know me, I love adrenaline. And then, so this is only going to get better. This is the best day out of everyone. I was singled out. And so I jump onto the end of this jet ski. It's one of those jet skis that have the sled on the backside. And I'm being real cool. I'm hanging on. My whole body is in the water. And I'm sort of just flapping. We're going so fast. And I'm like being dragged along. This is sick. I'm having so much fun. When tragedy strikes, and my pants and my Speedos fall, and they are now hanging on to my ankles. And I'm screaming, stop! Stop! Now, backtrack a couple of years. And I made the dumb decision to watch a great white shark documentary the night before Nippers. And, oh, this is terrible. I have a rule. Even if it's Sharknado, I still don't watch shark movies anymore. So I'm watching, and the sharks, they attack lone seals. And so the goal of life, ladies and gentlemen, point one, never be a lone seal. So, no joke, the day after is like, are the handicap races. That's where they let the bad people go first in hopes that they would win. And it's a swim. I hated the swim. I said to Mum, please never make me do the swim. Every single time she would make me do it. I was the only one in that first line to go first. Like, they were basically saying I was the worst, the slowest, and just terrible. And so I am swimming, and because I've watched this shark video, I am swimming my heart out. Now, there are three sort of boys in the water. They go in an apex. I get to the apex boy. I get out here when all of a sudden I remember point one of life. Don't be a lone seal. And I think to myself, I am a lone seal. So I hug the boy. I hug the boy. And I wait for everyone to catch up to me. When they catch up, I let go and I start swimming with them. When they outpace me, they all arrive on the beach earlier than me and I come last, even though I got like a 5-minute handicap. So, I'm on the back of this jet ski. And I have a choice. I can either hold on and lose my pants, or I can fall into the water, save my pants, but be an only seal and get eaten by a shark. And because I'm a smart little nipper, I held on to the jet ski. I did not want to be a lone seal, get eaten by a great white shark. And my pants proceeded to fall off. Well, the champion spirit that I had gotten that morning from Warren, who pointed me out and said, Everybody watch him. When I was standing in Deer Park, the shallow waters of Deer Park, like this, covering my privates in front of those same 50 people, I'm telling you, all of that confidence, all of that I'm the man, quickly disappeared. To the point where I was the laughing stock, and I'm pretty sure those people still tell the story today of the boy who lost his pants on the jet ski. So this camp was all in preparation for they call it a surf carnival, a tournament for all of the little nippers. And so I'm in the relay, I'm in the board relay, you know, because the world champ said that I was a champ. And so I'm walking on the beach with my head down, and all of these people from all of the different clubs are the same people that saw me on the beach like that. And I'm carrying this big bulky board, and I'm walking, I'm the first in the board relay for North Cronulla Beach Club, Little Nippers. And I walk to the line when I hear someone from the opposing team say, "That's Jackson." And, you know, when your insides twist and it's like, if I could die right now, if I could hide for the rest of my life, now would be a great time. Yeah, that's the guy that the world champ pointed out. That's the guy that got pointed out in front of everyone, and the dude said he was the best. Well, I was like this. I was like, yes, that is me. I've never been so confident in a board race that whole entire... You should have seen me. I have never since been like this. I was so determined to win that race. The rest of my team lost it for me, but still, that was one of the only times that someone has been intimidated by Jackson Moore in a sports race. Here's what I've learned. Here is what I've learned. Isn't it crazy how a Christian can be wallowing in their own self-pity, in their own self-loathing, in their own insecurity, all the while the enemy knows exactly what's in them, exactly what he's written about them, exactly what he's said about them? Isn't it crazy that we can be living life in a different reality, all the while the very force that's trying to stop us actually believes the promises of God about ourselves when we don't believe them? I'm not sure tonight if you believe everything that is written about you in the Bible. I'm not sure if you are entirely convinced. But can I tell you that the enemy is actually entirely sure and is entirely convinced? The enemy knows, even if you don't believe it, the enemy knows that you have been forgiven of every single mistake you have ever made. The enemy knows that though he may form a weapon to destroy you, that it shall not prosper. The enemy knows that though he may make you feel lonely, that you are never alone, that you are never forsaken, that you will never be isolated from Jesus Christ. Though sometimes we aren't entirely convinced, and though sometimes, like me, and it is human nature to lapse back into unbelief, the enemy knows all of the promises of God that are written about us. The enemy knows and is convinced of every single thing and every single ounce of potential that God has put on the inside of us. And I want to remind us tonight that if you find yourself in Jesus Christ, if you find yourself having put your trust in Jesus, the enemy cannot destroy you. Though the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy, Jesus has come to give life and life more abundantly. So he may try and convince you. He may try and distract you. He may try and intimidate you. But there will be no destruction of your life. For those who find themselves in Jesus Christ, you are on a sure foundation. You have been saved tonight. But he will try and distract. He will try and intimidate. He will try and throw something at you that will knock you back or intimidate you to step down from all that God has put on your life and all the potential that you have on the inside, exactly as God made you. Which is why I believe that Paul wrote in Ephesians chapter 6, he wrote this. He wrote, "Finally, Be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not with flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of the dark world, and against the spiritual forces in the heavenly realms. For the first time in Scripture, it's been referenced and we see it delineated, but for the first time, we're introduced to the concept of spiritual warfare. And this is what Paul is saying. He is saying, you may have symptoms, you may have chaos in your world, but don't for a minute think that it is a coincidence. Don't for a minute think it is bad luck. Do not for a minute think that this is just haphazard. No, this is actually a scheme to distract you away from the call of God, intimidate you away from the call of God, or knock you back from the call of God. This is a scheme. I have an enemy, a really significant enemy in my life. In fact, it's generational. My mum has this enemy. I'm probably going to pass it on to my children. He or she is called the huntsman spider. Significant enemy. Today was a bad day. Today was a bad day. So as I'm preparing for my message, you can't make this stuff up, church. As I'm preparing for my message, there is this fly in my room. Like one of those huge ones that makes the most intense sound. You know those flies? They're so irritating. Where do they come from? I don't even see them outside. I only see them in my bedroom. Like, do you know what I mean? Like, what is this? And funny enough, I don't know what's gotten into me, but I've got like this greeny thing happening where I'm trying to save the fly. And I've opened my sliding door and I've got my shirt and I'm trying to like shoo it out, but it keeps on running into my window. I know, so dumb. It's like, you've got a big open door, you know? It's what's wrong with you? And it keeps on running into my fly screen. So that I thought, that's it, I can't handle this noise. So it's on my fly screen, so I shut my window over the fly screen. I'm sitting there, and I'm on my laptop doing, just finishing off final touches of my message. When the buzzing stops. And I'm like, it kind of died that quick. I was like, I was going to let it out because I wanted to save the fly for some reason. Like, I was just shutting it up for a little bit. I was like, it kind of died. And I turn around and in between my window and the fly screen, ready for when I open up my window again, there is this huge huntsman eating a fly. I just cannot escape them. You know, in winter, I say that I can't wait for summer. I'm just like, get me to summer. I want warm water. I want the beach. When I get to summer, I'm just like, get me back to winter. Because the huntsman spiders are everywhere. And they stalk people who have a phobia. I remember one night, the day before I went to Italy. I went on exchange to Italy. My whole family was around and... we got home from youth. My sisters, so Taylor, Fallon, and I'd just gotten my P's. We came home from youth. The girls were sleeping on mattresses on my bedroom floor, and I remember, you know, when you're wired at night, it's like 1 a.m. but I'm still so awake. I'm excited for the morning. It's going to be the adventure of a lifetime. So I'm sort of just laying there with my phone, and my sisters are on the floor. I've got both sets of auntie and uncles in the house with me, my mum, my grandmother, my two sisters. It's very, very, very full, cramped house. And there I am, and it's pitch black, girls are asleep, and when all of a sudden the peace that is within me disappears. And as I'm scrolling through, whatever I'm scrolling through, the absence of peace just shocks me a little bit. And the glare of my phone onto the white roof, I see a hole in the roof. And when I turn on the light, It isn't a hole. It is a huge huntsman spider. It proceeds to fall into my bed. I'm telling you, this is proof that we have a real enemy that knows our weakness, that is after, it's all a strategy. It's a scheme. While we spent 40 minutes, Taylor Fallon and I, screaming, well, they screamed, I was the man and I made it happen. Not one member of my extended family came to help, although I knew every single one of them was awake. When I turned on the light to see the huntsman spider, my absence of peace, you got a sixth sense. Anyone who's an arachnophobic person, you know, you got a sixth sense when it comes to spiders. It's like far out. I turned on the light and I saw the spider and I knew, oh, that makes sense. That's my sixth sense going off. And what's crazy is that so many Christians live with the absence of peace, or they live in the fear of something, or they live controlled by something, but never turning on the lights to address the cause of their problem. Never, we're a generation who is so used to dealing with things at surface level that when we deal with something over here, all we've got to do is turn our shoulder and find something over here. And we as a generation, I've got to say, I work with people all the time, we are insensitive and we are numb to the fact that there is an enemy that is strategizing against us. And he's doing exactly what we're doing exactly what he wants us to. We are being distracted away from the call of God because of all, we're trying to treat symptom after symptom after symptom after symptom. But tonight, I just want to turn on the lights. First one is distraction. If he can't destroy you, he will distract you away from the call of God. There's a reason why the right carrot at the right time is dangled in front of you. It's because God is trying to do something in your life and the enemy can't stop it, but he can get you to walk away from it. The amount of times when I've had a step up in the call of God, but that's the time when I get an offer of a really large amount of money. Do you know what I mean? A job with a large amount of money. In fact, when I was going, the day that Pastor Brad offered me to come on full-time staff as youth pastor, the day after I was meant to start a corporate job with a very significant salary. And just right carrot at the right time saying, there's the call of God right here for you, specifically made from you. But you know how you like money, Jackson? Don't be tempted away from the call of God, the miracle that God has for you. Don't be tempted away. Not every opportunity is a God opportunity. Every decision we make is not just for you and I to make by ourselves. Every decision should involve the Holy Spirit. Every decision should involve counsel from the Bible and counsel from our leaders. Because we won't be distracted away from the call of God. We're turning on the lights tonight. Second thing is intimidation. And that is that there are thoughts that we have that are not ours. And if I can be completely real with you, I'm going to tell a very real story. And that is, leading up into conference, I knew that God had something special for me. And the amazing Jeff Smith prays for me regularly. And he said, hey, what are you believing for conference? I'm going to pray for you. And I said, I actually believe that God has a word for me. And on the Friday afternoon session, Pastor Dustin Bates calls me on stage and he gives me a prophetic word. And the craziest thing happened. I was standing there with my hands lifted, thinking, he's wrong. This isn't for me. No. He's prophesying a youth revival. I'm like, no, he's wrong. And I knew I wasn't thinking this. Wow. That is not me. Right. You guys know me. That is not me. Yeah. And that is because the enemy will put in first person sentences into your thing, making you think, I'm not good enough. I'm not skilled enough. I'm not ready. I'm too young, I'm too old. And it is intimidation away from the call of God. It is intimidation that would make you step back or cower away from the opportunities that God has for you. But can I just say, turning on the lights, and I don't care what thought comes in my brain, I am receiving that word by faith. I do not care what people around me say or what the enemy tries to implant in my brain. I am going full throttle at the call of God in my life. I will not retreat. The third thing is a perfect storm. The perfect storm. He'll distract you. He'll intimidate you. Then he'll give you, if you can't get you with either of those, he will give you the perfect storm. And in 2016 was the hardest year of my life. It was actually in a really good and building up way now that I look back and on hindsight. But 2016 was a rough year for my family and for me personally. And by the end of it, I was almost wiped out. Almost wiped out. We were at the end of a family court battle. It was my first year of being youth pastor, and I love being youth pastor. But you know what? I just have a lot more respect for Pastor Tim Biasetto now. You know what I mean? And right when I was getting to the end of myself, in fact, on the very day of our final court thing that was happening, this lovely young person started this like full-on Facebook campaign against me, and these statuses and their comments got into the hundreds of people, you know, saying good stuff about me, but then some people saying real ugly, horrible stuff about me. And it, whatever direction I turned, I felt like I was being bombarded by the enemy. You know what I mean? I could not catch a break. I could not catch a breath. It was like every single direction I turned, there was a problem. And there was discouragement, and it was hard. I have good news for you tonight. We're going to keep reading Ephesians chapter 6 from verse 13. It says, "Therefore, put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground, and after you have done everything, to stand." Do you know what the good news is tonight? Is that for you and I, there may be a perfect storm around us, but all God is asking us to do is keep on standing. Can you keep 2 feet planted on your foundation? Not moving forward, not moving backwards. Can you just stay standing? When the perfect storm comes, God asks us. He gives us every spiritual resource and says, here's what you got to do. Stay standing. Stay standing. If the band can come and join me. I want to tell you about a story of people who stood standing. People who stood standing. It comes from 2 Chronicles chapter 20. King Jehoshaphat is leader of the children of God, and he gets word that there are 2 armies that are conspiring and have joined forces to come and slaughter the children of God. And I think you would agree with me. This is the perfect storm. This is the 2 worst enemies joining forces to come and slaughter and kill the people of God. So King Jehoshaphat does what the only thing that he knows to do, and that is to get on his knees with the rest of the children of God and pray. And as they're praying at the temple, the Spirit of God comes down on someone. And I believe this is a word for people tonight. It is certainly a word for me. And the Spirit of God comes down and rests on this man, and he starts to shout. This is what he says. He says, "Listen, King Jehoshaphat and all who live in Judah and Jerusalem, this is what the Lord says to you. Do not be afraid or discouraged because of this vast army, for the battle is not yours, but God's. Tomorrow, march down against them. They will be climbing up the passes, and you'll find them at the end of the gorge in the desert of Jeruel. You will not have to fight this battle. Take up your positions. Stand firm." Come on, stand firm, church, and see the deliverance of God. "Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. Go out to face them tomorrow, and the Lord will be with you." Can I tell you what happens when you stand? The Lord fights with you. Rephrase. The Lord fights for you. Stay standing. The enemy though he will try and convince you otherwise, cannot destroy you. He cannot. He cannot rip you off from the call of God that's on your life. He cannot destroy the plans of God. You know, no matter what he throws at you, Jeremiah 29:11 will still be standing when you are on your last breath. And that is, for I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. They are plans for good and not for evil. The enemy cannot destroy you. The only thing that can rip us off from the call of God, the only thing that can stop your family moving forward, the only thing that can see us not fulfill our potential is if we get off, if we step back, if we remove ourselves from the foundation that God has put in our lives. Put on the full armor of God, the shoes of peace. We walk in the peace of the gospel. We take the peace of the gospel with us wherever we go. The belt of truth. The belt holds everything together. The truth of the word of God is everything to us. The breastplate of righteousness. Righteous living protects our heart from the fiery darts of the enemy. I mean, God will forgive and heal us of everything. But why should he need to if we do what he says and we will be protected? The helmet of salvation. Come on, that we are saved and we can... We put every thought into captivity to Christ. The shield of faith. No matter what comes at our way, we're still going to believe Jeremiah 29:11. No matter what comes our way, I'm not stepping back. I'm not getting down. I may not be able to move forward right now. I may not be able to win this battle on my own, but I'm not getting down. I've got my shield of faith up and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Tonight, God can fight your battles if you'll let Him. Tonight could be the start of a journey where you will see the deliverance of the Lord in your life. And all He asks you to do is stand firm, take up your positions. This is what happened to King Jehoshaphat. He bowed down in worship after he got the prophetic word. He applied his faith. He believed it. Him and his people, he believed it. And what happened? Overnight, as the enemies were coming and marching towards the people of God, the Spirit of God descended on the enemies and sent them into a state of confusion. So when daybreak arose, when the sun came up, the two enemies looked at each other and all of a sudden they had forgotten the alliance that they had made. They had forgotten about their agreement. And all of a sudden the two enemies killed each other. So Israel stands up. They put on their armor. They march to the battle line. They stand their ground and what do they see? God won their battle for them. Can you stand up with me tonight? Jesus Christ is on your side, my friend. There is no reason, there is not a reason in the world why you cannot fulfill the call of God on your life. Doesn't matter what age you are, does not matter about your past, does not matter about your current circumstance. Jesus Christ will fight the battle for you. All you got to do is stand. If we could bow our heads and close our eyes before we go.
Thanks for listening to this week's message. For more info about Horizon Church, please visit our website at horizonchurchsydney.com. Have a fantastic day and we hope to see you again soon.